Last week, President Obama ordered precision airstrikes against members of Islamic State, the militant group that's fighting U.S.-backed ethnic minorities in northern Iraq. The president has thus far not committed ground forces to the region. Meanwhile, the United States continues air and ground operations in Afghanistan. It goes without saying that land and air-based troops must talk to each other for their mutual safety. Right now, those two groups are practicing their war games at Camp Grayling in northern Michigan. And current state's Kevin Labrie just returned from up north where he watched the maneuvers. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Mark. This is the third year that the Michigan National Guard has hosted what's called Operation Northern Strike. It's a huge training exercise that runs for 3 weeks every August. There are soldiers and airmen there from about a dozen states, plus Canadian troops and even some from Latvia, which is relatively close to Ukraine. My escort for the day was Captain Brian Anderson. He's a public affairs officer with the Michigan National Guard. And you can imagine that I was anxious to talk to him about what we were about to see.
This is the Grayling Air Gunnery Range. This is where everything is gonna combine into one big show of force. We'll have ground troops, rotary wing, fixed wing, artillery, and mortars all playing the game at once.
Apache helicopters swarm like giant armored dragonflies above this sprawling expanse cut from the northern Michigan pines. It's a beautiful blue day with white puffy clouds casting mesmerizing shadows on the green clearing below. Captain Anderson and I make our way uphill to the bottom deck of a two-tiered observation tower. That's just fine with me. Any higher, and I might be able to read the pilot's name on his flight suit. Down below, a crowd is assembled on bleachers, intently listening to Colonel Jeff Terrell, the commander of the 63rd Troop Command from Grand Rapids. Most of the troops in this exercise are under his orders, so Terrell gets the privilege of being the play-by-play man. He's holding a large map of the mock battlefield behind him.
The squad's been given a mission to perform a reconnaissance of this enemy village. And the village is right here on this board. What we do as a land force is we create what's called a phase line that allow the troops on the ground to talk to those overhead or those in their operations center to let them know where they're at on the battlefield.
Before the action begins, I'm introduced to John Oliver, a master sergeant with the Illinois Air National Guard. He's what's known as a JTAC, a Joint Terminal Attack Controller.
You're putting down something that goes boom, you know, a bomb or a bullet out of an aircraft or out of a helicopter. And to get permission for that, that's when I give them that clearance to come in and fire it in close proximity to friendly forces.
So you're the guy that has to make sure that the bomb is going where it's supposed to go and not on us.
Exactly.
Master Sergeant Oliver says the key to being a good JTAC is what the military likes to call situational awareness. It's about keeping close watch on the enemy and the ally.
You know, where is the bad guy at in relation to where I am, distance, direction? You've got to think about what kind of ammunition can I put down? What's the fragmentation pattern of this bomb compared to that bomb? You know, what can I put that's going to give me the most bang for the buck, but yet not frag friendlies?
The Army has an equivalent to the Air Force JTAC, and they work as partners. Staff Sergeant Christopher Stoltz with Michigan's 126th Cavalry Regiment is a JFO, that's Joint Fires Observer.
We have eyes on the ground allowing us to see better than what the planes can, obviously, from up in the air. We provide them with talk-ons to their targets to get them onto the right target.
Here comes that A-10 again.
Yep. Yeah, just a little show of force pass there is what that'd be commonly referred to. So they can, you know, just come in real low over enemy troops, so on and so forth, just to kind of scare them a little bit and get their heads down.
The A-10 is a big part of the U.S. presence in Afghanistan. It's known as the Warthog. The A-10 has been around since the late 1970s, and there's been intense debate within the Air Force as to whether to retire it. It's not as sleek as a fighter jet, but the burst of fire from its 30-millimeter rotary cannon is startling. Now the circling Apaches get their turn, first with their guns, then their rockets. As the aircraft clear the area, small infantry units take their place. Even from our vantage point on the tower, it's hard to see anything clearly. The Blackhawks came in a while ago and dropped off troops, but are now on the ground, and we can hear small arms fire in the distance and puffs of smoke. And I can see tiny specks, soldiers in the distance on the field. Standing beside me is Michigan National Guard Sergeant First Class Adam Swager. We watch as a billowing cloud of purple smoke rises in the distance.
At this time, they're going to simulate a medical evaluation or medevac for a wounded soldier. So you'll see them land, load up a wounded soldier assisted by a medic, and they'll get them back to the field hospital or to safety.
Many of the troops taking part in this war game have lived out these scenarios in Afghanistan. Major Robert Fraser with Michigan's 63rd Troop Command says their real-world experiences are vital to the success of this exercise.
These are critical to our training. Without this complex training scenario, those skills are extremely perishable. And what we find is that if we don't continuously train to this level, you're starting over and over every time you come back and do this. The nature of being a guard unit is that you get the limited training, the 1 weekend a month, the 2 weeks during the summer typically, and it's very difficult to come into a collective training scenario like this in short order and then do it safely and complex.
Frazier says as citizen soldiers, guardsmen must be ready to respond at a moment's notice when called upon. He says that's why the parameters of Operation Northern Strike have steadily grown since it was first launched in 2012. The Michigan National Guard will have an opportunity to demonstrate its battle skills in person to its commander-in-chief today. Governor Rick Snyder is visiting Camp Grayling to inspect the troops in the military's time-honored tradition of pass and review. Operation Northern Strike continues through the 22nd. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.